facing the same kind of resistance by the Palestinian resistance men in the refugee camp, which are, by the way, they are united from all factions against the Israeli occupation. And they showed them what does it mean to re-incursion on Jenin refugee camp. And we believe this is quite important. Now, for the second part about the Palestinian Authority, we think that the Palestinian Authority, they lost it totally, especially with the idea of, you know, how to resist the occupation. They are insisting on resisting the occupation only by a peaceful mean, and they are like ignoring totally what's going on the ground of the Israeli, what they are doing, and the Palestinian resistance, and they don't mention the Palestinian resistance in such way. But we believe that, you know, after the speech of Mahmoud Abbas in the United Nations, and he said now it's the relationship between us and the Israelis is the occupied people versus the occupation, and means that no Oslo anymore. Do they come to realization that the no way for negotiations or peace process to take place, and now it is time only for resistance? We hope that they will understand this lesson and they will support the Palestinian resistance rather than arresting and operating with the Palestinian-Israeli cooperation, security cooperation agreement, which is really very bad. And all the Palestinians are asking the Palestinian Authority to stop the cooperation with the Israeli security forces and to follow Oslo agreement. If we think that Oslo agreement is no longer viable and no longer exists, so we should also get rid of this security cooperation totally, if we want to really, you know, show the Israeli that we are, you know, occupied people versus occupation. And in such case, they should support the Palestinian resistance and should do everything in their hands to help the Palestinian everywhere around when they are resisting this occupation, not only by the peaceful means of resistance, which we needed also, like the popular resistance, but also to support the Palestinian even armed resistance and with all means of resistance against this occupation.
How do you think the sentiment of the Palestinian people is inside the West Bank at the moment when they saw that the Palestinian Authority was basically clamping down on their own resistance fighters for the benefit of Israel?
Yes, and that created a huge problem. For instance, 10 days ago, a week or 10 days, when they arrested one of the resistance men from Nablus, and there was a reaction in all over the West Bank against the Palestinian Authority. So I think we are in a very critical moment, and the Palestinian Authority should understand that if they continue with this way, definitely the Palestinian resistance won't then differentiate between resisting the occupation and resisting the Palestinian Authority forces, because if it is only to protect the Israeli security and to arrest the Palestinians, then definitely the Palestinians will turn against them. So it's much better for the Palestinian Authority to review their position and to reform their conduct in order to support the Palestinian resistance rather than arresting them.
Dr. Saad Nimr, academic and political commentator from the Occupied West Bank, I want to thank you very much for your time and for your contribution to our show. I know how tough it is right now, so please accept our solidarity with all of you, especially in the Occupied West Bank at this moment. Thank you for your time, and thank you. Please stay tuned next week for more from the Mideast Stream. Please stay tuned because we have much more very important issues to talk about West Asia and present to the world, because we are the voice of the voiceless in this part of the world. We'll see you again soon.
Food for thought.
Salam, and we felicitate you all on the blessed 10th of the month of Rabiul Awwal, the wedding anniversary of the Prophet of Islam and the virtuous lady Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra, peace upon them. Here is a famous saying from the Prophet in memory of the First Lady of Islam, who was his only wife for 25 long years. By God, the Almighty did not grant me a better wife than her. She believed in me when people used to mock at me, and she acknowledged me when people denied me. She shared her wealth and property with me, and she bore me children which I was not destined to have through other women.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light. And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jahad, hosting this program. And Sister Asma and Brother Sayyid Abdullah, my guest speakers in the studio. Sister Asma, salam alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum as-salam. Again, I'm so happy to be here.
Welcome. Well, and Brother Sayyid Abdullah, salam alaikum, welcome to the studio again.
Wa alaikum as-salam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me as always.
Welcome. Well, it's a pleasure really to have you both actually in the studio talking and criticizing the movie, June, produced in 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve. Before me asking you the questions regarding that part of the movie, let's take a listen to a short part of the movie June, produced in 2021. And we'll be back with this question. Don't go away.
Are you the new weapons master?
Duncan Idaho gone. I must make do as best I can. Choose your blade.
I've had quite a day, Ernie. Give us a song instead.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. Well, we are criticizing the movie June, produced in 2021. And, well, you know, Sayyid Abdullah, why is there so much emphasis in this movie on the fight or training to fight? Like, in that particular part of the movie, you know, the boy Paul, actually, or the princess, obviously in that part of the movie, because yet he's going to be the king, right?
Yeah.
Or the savior later in the upcoming sequels, probably.
Yeah.
Right. Well, he's actually training to fight with his
trainer,
obviously, with a blade and a sword, right? With all the technology that we see in this movie, like a spaceship of that status and size, you know, and importance, whatever, and they like did our interplanetary trips, all the gadgets you see, still they are focusing on the blade and sword, right? Even if, well, you know, they are fully equipped technologically speaking. Does it mean they have studied their lesson well about Islam in general and Shia sources in particular, especially on the Imam of the time and the traditions, even though metaphorically?
Look, the idea is it's what you mentioned is it's something that actually catches your eye, because with the advances of technology that they had, it's so advanced that they have flying robots and stuff like that. And but yet when they fight, all the fighting scenes, there are no guns whatsoever. Yeah. They have swords. And even though they had guns on top of the buildings that were shooting, so they had guns, but not on a person level, which is kind of strange. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So they say, okay, how come they're using swords in such an advanced world?
The Fremen use swords because...
No. Even the other armies...
Fremen mostly use swords.
Yeah, but we're talking about generally in the entire movie. Yeah. All the armies, they were using swords. None of them used guns. They had no guns. The only gun that they had is that shoot darts, which is not a bullet. You know what I mean?
True.
So then they had to fight sword by sword. Mm-hmm. So even the Emperor's army, their army, the other armies, they all had swords.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though they had ships that can blow up. You know, they are these tiny things that walk on this massive ship and blow it up.
Yes.
So they had the technology so advanced. To that extent, you can demolish an entire spaceship with a tiny little robot that flies over it.
Yes.
But yet you're fighting one-to-one with swords.
That's what caught my eyes, you know.
Exactly. Basically. So this is something that I paid a lot of attention to. And the idea is, like you said, it's very clear. In Islamic textbooks, it's written that at the time of the appearance of the Savior, he would use no guns whatsoever. There would be, even the systems that we have, it would be disabled.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the technology that we have will be disabled.
Mm-hmm.
So then they had to refer to swords. And most people say, well, no, that's actually a riwaya. You're just taking it literally because it says, oh, the Imam will fight with swords. No, actually, he will fight with swords. Literally, he will fight with swords. They say, okay, what happens to this machinery and this all this gunpowder? Will be disabled. Why? One of the reasons the Savior will come is to save lives, not to take lives.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine Mahdi alayhi salam having a war with the Sufyani using nuclear weapons?
Right.
Or using just heavy armory.
Yeah.
That would kill millions or hundreds of thousands of people.
And lots of
so they those will be people who are killed. To minimize life.
Yes, exactly. And also to save the life of the victims who are innocent.
Exactly. So
with
Imam,
the bombs, you can't save their lives.
Exactly. Everyone is going to be
Everyone's
killed.
Everyone's going to die. So when the Imam comes, he will use a sword. Literally, he will use a sword. And this point, they made it very clear in the movie.
Exactly.
That's going to be one-on-one. Because there are a lot of people who are innocent. Or even the soldiers themselves, some of them, they don't know. They're just following orders. But if the head gets killed, for example, we know from the riwayat that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, when he comes, when he has his war with Sufyani, he will have a one-on-one with the Sufyani himself. Once he kills the Sufyani, the army will submit to the Imam.
Mm-hmm.
So there is even minimum bloodshed. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's exactly why the Imam is going to come with a sword, to minimize death. And like I said, in the movie, you can see that clearly.
Exactly.
Swords.
Yeah.
Even though...
So they have studied their lessons well.
They did. They, like I said, sometimes it's scary the amount of detail they put. And like I said, I think when we discussed that X-Men Apocalypse...
Yes.
The amount, the what we call the preciseness of the movie itself was something really scary to me.
Scary, exactly.
Because literally they were... A hadith being performed in practice in that movie.
Yeah.
Which got me very scared.
Yeah.
I mean, to the preciseness of things.
Yeah.
They go between the lines.
No, not even between the lines. They're directly, I think we discussed the hadith from Mahdi alayhi salam when he talks, or the call in the heavens. Everyone hears it in their own language.
Everyone hears, yeah.
That was exactly done in the movie. This guy was making a call and everyone was understanding it at the same time, their own language.
Yeah.
So they take the hadith literally.
Yes, no, I mean, they actually does a perfect study upon that.
Yeah. So like I said, they are very precise. So in this movie that we see that when it comes to the sword, they were extremely precise in that aspect.
Exactly. And to the extent that sometimes you get scared so much so that you know, not because of the fact that they put so much details in the movie and so straightforward and frankly and candidly, but to the extent that sometimes you are scared because even to so much details that we even, you know, Muslims are somehow not really aware of, or they because of know. Our lack of like reading said, or
I
studying.
Always, like I said, I've heard a lot of people, even a lot of scholars on the minbar, they discuss the hadith, the narration what talks about the Imam coming with the sword. They're like, nah, that was back in their time, but they didn't have a gun, so they had to say a sword. I'm like, no. Sometimes there are a lot of hadith, a lot of ayat. You have to take it literally. Mm-hmm. You can't just decode it because it doesn't suit your time.
Yeah.
No. What happens if time goes backwards? Because we do understand, if you study the history of civilization, they reach a peak, they go downwards.
Yeah.
Our civilization will reach its peak, it will go downwards. There will come a time where there will be no satellites, no TV, no nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
True.
And people have to resort back to horses and camels and what have you.
Yeah.
So no, take it literally.
And fighting with a sword is, mind you, is one-to-one. And it's very much ethical.
Exactly.
If you compare it with the bomb explosion and stuff like that, you know?
Yes. Yeah, it's very ethical. Like I said, it's to minimize
death. It's not a massive killer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Imam will come, and I read that the riwayah says all the people that will be killed during the whole revolution of Imam Mahdi, right. less than 500 people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you tell me which war that you can lead to change the earth that will cost you 500 people.
Exactly.
None. Now you throw one bomb,
true.
It kills 500 people instantly.
Right, mm-hmm. True.
But you don't see that happening in the narration. So they done, like you said, they done their study so well that mm-hmm. they got it better than us.
Yeah.
And better even than our scholars themselves who still refuse to accept it for what it is.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah. Let's take a listen actually to another part of this movie, June, produced in 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve, and then we'll be back with his question and its critique. Don't go away.
What is this?
The Reverend Mother Guy Salim Mohaim is here. She was my teacher at the Bene Gesserit school. She's now truthsayer to the Emperor himself. She would like to meet you.
Why?
She wants to know about your dreams.
How does she know about my dreams? Why is Dr. Yue here?
He only needs a moment.
Back to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma, my guest speakers in the studio. We are talking about and criticizing the movie June, produced in 2021, directed by Denis Villeneuve. Sister Asma, you know, in that part of the movie, they are talking about an expert or a holy woman, in fact, in Black Whale,
mm-hmm.
right? Like an oracle, you know, in Greek mythology. I know
your
background in literature, especially English literature. We have seen so many books and movies about that, you know, the oracles as a kind of mythological mm-hmm. figure, you know, prophesizing about future and
exactly,
stuff like that, you know?
Yes.
We also see it in the movie Matrix, the Oracle, you know, that woman. Of course, she was not in, you know, veil, but
yes.
Here you see all of the women there, right, in Black Wake.
Exactly.
It's very much, you know, interesting and intriguing to see that. Well, and that woman's job is to interpret dreams,
mm-hmm.
sort of, and also in addition to the prophecies. Well, why connect dreams with holiness and religion in the first place? First of all, this is my first question. And isn't it a field of study in psychology per se?
Studying
dream interpretation.
Dream interpretation.
Because we see it in, you know, I've listened to a lot of lectures by psychologists about interpretation of the dreams.
Yes, yes.
And we also have this, you know, of course, they may have taken it from religious sources.
Yes.
You know, we mm-hmm. have, you know, famous dream interpretations and commentaries.
Yes.
From even some of our, let's say, which we call it, you know, prophets mm-hmm. and saints.
Yes.
Right? So, apart from the origin and the source of the dream interpretation that we see, why do they connect the two, even in this movie?
At first, I would like to shed some light upon that woman in black.
Right.
Well, in Jewish culture and mythology, I don't know if you have read about it or not, but if you go, even in the pictures, you see that there are women wearing exactly the same dresses like this.
Right.
I mean, she is covered from her head to her toes in black, and then in exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
And also in their mythology, they used to allude to women as these sort of spiritual sources that they know about the future, they know about a lot about the history, and they can also have some prophecies.
Bene Gesserit.
Exactly, the Bene Gesserit. This exact tribe, who are already all women, all the members of this tribe are women, and also the old woman tells her that you were supposed to bring a girl, but yes. You didn't pay any heed to our words, and you brought a boy.
Yes.
So she was not satisfied with what she was doing. Yes. About the woman, I would say that they are alluding to some mythical stories and the characteristic of a woman in those stories, in which she is sometimes turns into a diabolical power that is going to change the fate of a nation.
I see.
But about dreams and the holiness that you said, I already told you the important dreams that do matter for us are those kind of dreams that come from revelation or that come from a holy person who by this dream is going to give us some awareness about the future.
Right.
So the dreams are sort of related to spiritual things. So it's something natural, I guess, to connect these dreams with holiness, because these dreams usually, if they are a kind of true dreams, they come from a true person. Therefore, that person must be either infallible or an honorable person who has been picked for that position.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sis Asma.
You're very welcome.
Brother Sayyid Abdullah, for your nice contribution to the program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. From me and the rest of the crew, we say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. Takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to afloat. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants. On the outskirts of China's metropolis, Shanghai, a tiny island has been dubbed Cat Island as it provides shelter for stray animals. Since it opened last month, a charity based on the island is taking in cats mainly brought from Shanghai residents. These small carnivorous mammals are neutered and evaluated, and those with good temper and health are allowed to roam free on the island. The city's Stray Cats Management Center says Their trap neuter release policy is to protect stray cats, limits their population, and maintain ecological balance. However, Shanghai has an estimated 200 stray cats per square kilometer, which means other methods will be needed to control the urban population, stray cats. A pair of baby panda twins make their debut appearance at the Chongqing Zoo in southwest China, with visitors flocking to cherish the abundance of cuteness.
Our returnee panda, Ershan, gave birth to the twin brother and sister on July 22nd this year. Currently, the elder brother weighs 4.3 grams and the younger sister weighs 0.6 grams. They're in good condition at present.
The twins' first public appearance was on Saturday, the first day of the week-long National Day holidays. During this week, the pair of giant panda cubs will be on display in the nursery of the panda house of the zoo. Their mother, Ershan, once lived in Canada as a goodwill envoy, but returned to her homeland in 2020. This was Ershan's second delivery of twins. A total of 21 pandas currently live in the Chongqing Zoo, which has been breeding giant pandas since the 1960s. The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture, and manufacturing. An aircraft powered by electricity may still be some way off, but one of its types is already here thanks to a whole range of innovative solutions being developed by aviation firms. American company Aviation Aircraft has debuted its all-electric plane in Washington State. The aircraft, named Alice, took off the runway at Grand County International Airport and flew for 8 minutes. It reached an altitude of 3,500 feet before touching down the ground. According to the company, the aircraft produces no carbon emissions, significantly reduces noise, and costs a fraction to operate compared to usual light jets. The company says it continues to develop and tweak the plane's battery system for an hour flight.
We're targeting a design criteria of 35 minutes for a charge. And so that'll be a charge for the typical route length. It's actually, as I just said, it's actually a design point. So going back to the comment I made earlier about designing batteries for aircraft, it's one of the considerations is how quickly do we want it to charge and how much power do you want to be able to draw from it. So again, we're targeting call it 30 minutes of charge for an hour of flight time, or about 2C if you're...
The company aims to find its way into the market for trips that sit between 150 and 250 miles, a range that features aircraft similar in size to Alice. It will also be for both commuter and cargo flights. For aircraft manufacturers, this paradigm shift is driving fuel savings in flight and on the ground, reducing carbon footprints and NOx emissions, while also improving reliability and cutting maintenance costs.
The light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 of the fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people.
In most of its habitats, the heavily trafficked pangolin faces the biggest threat from humans. But in Taiwan, these gentle creatures are exposed to quite a different danger, feral dogs. In the island, a government policy has led to a surge in the population of feral dogs. The pangolins share most of their roaming area with the stray animals. Plus, these scaly animals cannot move as fast as their attackers. When faced with danger, pangolins curl themselves into a ball shape, but the tail still remains at the most outer side, and that's where the dogs hit them hard.
Ecuador's Galapagos National Park is testing different coral replanting methods in an effort to restore fragile underwater ecosystems around local islands.
These corals are important because they are recyclers in the ocean. They convert all the CO2 into oxygen. These corals are important because they are refuges, nurseries, and nursery areas for some fish species.
Coral reef die-offs affect the marine food supply chains and are considered a major climate tipping point. The experimental project is run by park rangers and volunteers in a bay on Santa Cruz Island. Since 2020, they have tested how corals reproduce when they are placed on surfaces like bricks, cement, or tied together and strung on metal frames. They're growing samples in a nursery before adding them to bay. The rangers are reporting improvements with the appearance of new fish near the replanted corals.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turned 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out three patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC. They're back as India has revealed or released several of them into the grasslands of Kuna National Park after a 70-year absence in the country. The eight radio-collared African cheetahs made the long journey from Namibia. The big cats were released during a ceremony by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that coincided with his birthday. After their acclimation in the national park, they will be released into a 5-hectare spread of land in central India, covered by grassland and forest. The felines will share the landscape with other animals and roam with leopards, sloths, and striped hyenas. Their reintroduction is the culmination of a 13-year effort to restore the species, which vanished from the country decades ago. Another 12 cheetahs are expected to join the fledgling Indian population next month from South Africa. With more funding, the country hopes to gradually increase the population of cheetahs to around 40.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina. وبالإسلام دينا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Salamun alaikum, dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you very much for joining us on IRIB English Radio and this episode of today's special. We're speaking about poverty in Islam. Today, Friday, is the 10th of Rabiul Awwal, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 15th of Mehr, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 7th of October, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. And again, we want to start today's special. So we'll listen to chapter Hadid, verse 18 of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Innal musaddiqina wal musaddiqati wa aqradullaha qardan hasanan yudha'afu lahum. يضاعف لهم ولهم أجر كريم.
Indeed, the men who practice charity and the women who practice charity and they who have loaned Allah a goodly loan, it will be multiplied for them and they will have a noble reward.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse in question is saying that men and women believing in Allah Almighty, acknowledgingly the prophetic call and expending their possessions for Allah's satisfaction, are favored by Him, by Allah, and great rewards shall fall into their shares. Expanding in Allah's cause is so significant that although Allah Almighty is the possessor of all things, He is so gracious to His servants that He encourages them to expanding in His cause by saying that it is like giving Him goodly loan, reflecting debt in the same manner that loans will be reimbursed. Expanding in Allah's cause will be returned manifold.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see is thanks to you.
Poverty in Islam. Poverty is a problem in any area of the world and it affects the religious beliefs of the people. Both Islam and the West have fears over the matter and many would think that by introducing new methods of management, mechanism, and economy-based solutions, any government would be able to overcome poverty. But the reality is poverty will never be totally and perfectly eradicated. Oftentimes, people wonder how in Islam the payment of 2.5% of a Muslim's annual wealth or zakat can solve the problems of poverty in Muslim world. The answer is that first, eradicating poverty can never be completely attained, however, it can be reduced drastically, and the wide economic gap would eventually be made smaller between the rich and the poor. So, there will be less tensions between them. Secondly, this 2.5% is the minimum requirement of zakat payment. Muslims can pay more than that according to their society's needs.
شيخ روحاني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dear and respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Poverty is one of the very significant and at the same time challenging subject and topic that can be discussed from different perspectives. Islam is, first of all, encouraging us to empower ourselves mentally. But it doesn't mean that we should suffice to only mentally kind of empowerment. No. Because at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, we had a group of people who were called Ashab al-Suffa. They were a specific group of people who actually were always busy with saying prayers, doing and performing fast, doing ibadah, and actually the other people served them, and they were relying on the other people. They themselves did not work, did not have any income. They were always busy just saying prayers, doing namaz, salah, these sort of things. But the Prophet ﷺ very strongly encouraged these people to leave this lifestyle, to forget about this lifestyle. It's not an Islamic lifestyle that they follow. They have to go working. They have to find jobs. They have to go after the properties, the things that they and their families need. And they should not rely on the other people, on the other Muslims. They themselves should work. Islam is not a religion that tells us that we should always just worship Allah, just say the prayers, do salat. No, no. We have to find out the best jobs. We have to actually teach our children, our people, our relatives, our friends, the true teachings of Islam by this way, that at the same time that you actually empower yourself mentally, a Muslim must be aziz. Muslim is aziz, and Muslim must be respected by the others. How do they respect you if you live in a good condition, if you have a good life, and you should not live from hand to mouth? This is not the lifestyle. That is why Prophet ﷺ encouraged the people, the Muslim ummah, the Muslim nation, to not follow the lifestyle of Ashab al-Suffa.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
Thank you very much for joining us. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're speaking about poverty in the view of Islam, and now we introduce means prescribed by Islam to solve poverty: encouragement to give charity, set up waqf and sponsor orphans, and widows. Allah says, of course, it's the interpretation of the meaning. So keep your duty to Allah and fear Him as much as you can. Listen and obey and spend in charity that is better for yourselves. And whosoever is saved from his own covetousness, then they are the successful ones. You can find it in chapter At-Taghabun, that is chapter 64 of the Holy Quran, verse 16. And again, Allah says, and whatsoever you spend of anything in Allah's cause, He will replace it, and He is the best of providers. Chapter Sabah, chapter 34 of the Holy Quran, verse 39. It was narrated that the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him, and his family said, "The one who strives to help widows and the poor is like the one who strives in jihad for the sake of Allah, and the one who prays at night and the one who fasts during the day."
You're the reason my life's worth living. You're the reason I'm alive. I'd be lost without you. You're the reason that I strive. You're my destiny. You're my revenue. You're the reason that I breathe. You are all.
Come here, we have tips of Imam for helping the poor and needy. We learn, make a point to visit soup chickens and homeless shelters. Go with a contingent of Muslims a few days every month to meet and talk with the poor and homeless of your area. Even better, set up a day where you and your group cook food. This is a good dawah exercise too. So bring some pamphlets and written material about the poor and needy in Islam, announce the need for volunteers during sermons in the weeks before the event. Other tip is making dua or supplication. When you make dua after prayers or on other occasions, ask Allah to help those who are in need or living in poverty. Ask Him to help you and the community provide for their needs. Also pray that those who regularly give zakat for the sake of Allah receive blessings in their wealth. This can encourage others to give their zakat as well.
Are financially incapable, what position do they have in Islam? In the book of Kafi from Imam al-Sadiq, he says, "Inna fuqara' al-mu'minin yataqallabuna fi riyad al-jannah qabla al-aghniya' bi-arba'ina sana." The poor of the believers will enter paradise before the rich of the believers. 40 years. They will enter paradise 40 years before the others because they suffered here. There, they're not going to suffer anymore. So Allah says 40 years in advance, enter paradise, enter Jannah. One of the companions of the Imam comes to him. He says, "Atadhhabu lis-souq?" Do you go to the market, to the mall, let's say? He says, "Yes, I do." He says, "Do you ever see things which you cannot afford to buy?" And this happens to everyone. Most people. You're walking and you see a beautiful watch or, you know, a piece of jewelry or a purse. Something. And you want it. And you can't have it. You can't afford it. So the Imam says, "Does this ever happen to you?" He says, "Yes, indeed." Then the Imam says, "Ama li kulli marratin tuhibbu an tashtari shay'an fala taqdir. Laka hasanatum min Allah." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a reward. And you could accumulate that reward for the hereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the person who cannot afford. And Allah says, "Since I have not given you the money to buy what you want to buy now, I'm going to give you a hasana, a reward in return."
Brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Inshallah, we'll learn about Islamic views on poverty more on the next episode of today's special, tomorrow, inshallah. Thank you for joining us. We leave you in Allah's protection and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi.
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.